So let's see. Jazz left. All right. Leslie, come here. You're my object lesson. Come on, Leslie. Object lesson. Stand right here. Leslie Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. No ice cream bars. Oh, wait.
We didn't practice.
Oh, no. Oh, I get it. I get it already.
I'm going to make it into an animal.
I get it already.
Wait. Okay. Nice to have you here.
Doesn't look like it.
I'm so glad. Glad to have you here. It's great to have you.
Oh, thanks. You.
Object lesson. That was Leslie. You'll remember that. No, because I'm really with Leslie. Leslie is my best buddy, one of them, and counselor. Leslie is a person in the church who will send me a message and say, "How you doing?" I'll say, "Great." She'll say, "No, really." Gonna let me off the hook. So, Biff's her assistant. He's different. Biff keeps me humble. And but here's the thing. Touching. We're in a society right now where everything is clean, everything is sanitized, everything is, we just went out. Even if somebody, if our children touch the ground, oh, quick. And we sanitize them, and we, oh, did you touch that? I just touched that. I thought, oh, it's sanitize. And it's funny because there's a study out showing that the healthiest children are the children who grow up on farms without all this sanitizer all the time, because their immune systems are building up. I got to tell you a story. Jesus touched the untouchable. Jesus didn't go like this first. Oh, wait. Oh, wait, rubber gloves up to the elbows. Wait. He touched people. And I ask the question, do we do what Jesus did? Because he says, those who love me obey my commands. They do what I do, the things that I do. And I wonder, we had in our youth group years ago, we were away on a leadership retreat, and I would take our kids in our youth group that had grown up and were kind of mature in their faith for teenagers, and they were our student leader team. And we went away, and we were at Attitash Mountain Village, and we had these two units right next to each other, a big, beautiful place. And we were going to talk that weekend about how to shape our youth group, how to minister to people, how to welcome people. We had a youth group of about 150 kids, and we're like this leadership team. Well, during this event, there was a girl who had come with us who was kind of more new to the group and getting into our group and establishing some relationships. And it was discovered that she had lice. Now, that happens to people all over the place. And so these, my leadership girls, some of the ones who were like, we know all the Bible verses. I mean, heck, we memorized it. We know the whole Bible, you know. They're the ones who go to everything. They're like big the Christian. We're the model. They absolutely freaked out. treated this girl like she was filthy. They wouldn't even be in the same room with her. They wanted me to send her home. Meanwhile, we had another girl with us who was also on the cusp of leadership. She had potential, but she was kind of a wild child. Let's just say she liked the boys, okay? And she was not really known for being like that inner core of those discipleship kids. She went over and she immediately hugged the girl. And then, while the rest of the kids went to the pool, this girl sat, our youth leader went off and went to the drugstore and bought a lice comb and the shampoo and stuff. This girl sat with the girl who had lice and combed the eggs out of her hair. And I wondered as a youth pastor, am I failing? Why is this kid being treated like they're unclean by my cream of the crop? Some of the cream of my crop is like treating her like she's subhuman. Of course, I confronted that. You know, they're teenagers. But have you ever noticed how Jesus touched the untouchable? We're going to be looking at that today in Mark 1, verses 40 through 45, if you want to look at that. I'll read it. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. Now let's stop right there for a minute. In that time, a person with leprosy had to announce their presence when coming among people. They had to yell out, unclean, unclean, as they're walking in. Unclean, unclean. You want to talk about sometimes have people being like, we're able to hide who we are and all of those things. Unclean, unclean, announce it. So that's what's happened here. And with Jesus, as he's with people, there are always people gathered around him. And this leper had to come in yelling, unclean, unclean, and clear the path, and then kneel in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. How many times have we heard that already from people approaching Jesus? If you are willing, I know you can make me well. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Touched him. Unclean, unclean, touched him. Remember raising the son of the widow? When he reached and he touched the stretcher, the bier as it was called, where the dead person was, Jesus touched and told the young man to get up. We looked last week at what you had to do if you touched anything with a corpse or anything around it. You had to, on the third day, a ceremonial washing. On the seventh day, a ceremonial washing to purify yourself. And if you didn't do it, what happened? You were thrown out, cut off from Israel. Jesus touched. Moved with compassion. Remember last week as we're reading, this is a more of an expression of deep in his gut, he's feeling empathy for this person he doesn't even know. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I'm willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. What? Why would he? That seems weird. That's a weird instruction. He's sending him and saying, go and do this. Well, I looked and I said, well, what is the deal here? What does he have to do? Bring the offering to the high priest? Bring, what is that? So in Leviticus 14, if you want to read and go this week, just note Leviticus 14 and look at that this week and see what people who had skin ailments had to do to try to be cleansed in the temple. But 14:10, Leviticus 14:10, on the eighth day, each person being purified must bring two male lambs and a one-year-old female lamb, all with no defects, along with a grain offering of 6 quarts of choice flour moistened with olive oil and a cup of olive oil. You know, the value of that that you had to bring to the priest, the value of that today is between $760 to $1,060. He had to go to the priest and bring this offering. You go, why? Why is he doing that? Why does the law say bring this? Because our historians and theologians say it's because of the seriousness of what has happened. Recognizing. So you say, what about the poor person? And this is one of the things that I love about the Old Testament. There are parts that look really harsh, right? But there are also parts of, what if this guy is poor? Well, later on we read that a poor person option, they could bring less, worth about $225 to $235 today. So God always made allowance for that to happen. You know, I'm really thankful that Jesus paid it all. I'm really thankful that when I mess up, I don't have to go and wash and purify myself on Wednesday and then again on Friday and then to do 4 dips or 7 dips and then sprinkle some blood, kill one bird, get its blood, sprinkle it on the other bird, let that bird fly free. I'm so glad that the 613 laws in Leviticus, that I'm not under the law anymore, that Jesus' covenant is so much better. Let's read on. But the man went, after Jesus told him, don't tell anybody, the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So we're going to break this down and look at what we see about the character of Christ in this miracle. The character of Christ. And if you're playing along with the bulletin or you're at home and you've got the bulletin and filling in the blanks, we'll see how you do. You can text me for the answers if you miss some. But the first thing is, let's recognize Jesus' deep compassion. He felt compassion for the man. The phraseology of that is he felt it in his gut. That compassion for this man's suffering. And so Jesus doesn't just feel bad. We're so good at feeling bad. You know what I'm good at? I'm good at saying, okay, I'll keep that in prayer. And then forgetting to pray about it. If you and I are talking and you say, hey, could you pray about this for me? And you say, yes, I'm going to pray for that. Say, no, Scott, take out your phone, open up your note that says prayer list, because I have one, and write it down. Because you're going to get home, you're going to hit the couch, and you're going to go, someone said something to me about praying. Who was it and what did they want? That's okay. I'm asking you. Help me to do that. Let's get in the habit of doing what Jesus did. He doesn't just feel bad. Jesus steps into the situation. He gets involved. He looks and he helps and he reaches out and touches the unclean and says, you are healed. I love that. And the second thing that we look in that first Mark 1:40 to 41 is we see that Jesus is willing to get close to our mess. You know, I meet people who are like, If I come to church, the walls are going to fall in. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how far I am. You don't understand God would never accept me. You don't understand where I am. And I say, that doesn't matter. The sacrifice of the Son of God pays for anyone who would come. Remember years back, I had a man who was a sniper in the military. And he came to me and said, I just need to talk to you. I need to talk to you because I feel like there's just no way God can love me. So we were sitting in my office and he was talking to me and he explained the horrific things he had gone through. He had been a sniper and his job in the Middle East, in Desert Storm, or one of them maybe it was Iraq or which war it was, but his job was to be up far away from the checkpoint. And the locals would sometimes send children up the road to meet with the soldiers. And the soldiers would yell out, stop, come no further. Because they didn't know if these children were strapped with explosives. And so his job was to wait for the command. And he said, I can still see the faces of those children through my scope. And I would either get the call to shoot or let them through. And so they would look at these children, they would look, they would study them as they're walking, trying to get any evidence of anything underneath the robes or covering they were wearing. And most of them would come through because they were coming to get candy bars. They were coming because the troops were kind. They would study these children, and then somebody had to make the call. And if the child was sweating, seemed nervous, seemed that he was going to go to Allah, this man was sobbing and telling me, I had to train on their face with that bullseye. And when the order would come, shoot. It was my job to shoot that child. And he said, I've shot 3 children. He said, 2 of them had explosives, but 1 did not. 1 did not. He said, God can't forgive me for that. God can't forgive me for taking the life of that innocent child. And I looked at him, and he was sobbing. I looked at him, and I said, please understand, there is nothing, even that, there is nothing that the blood of Jesus can't cover and forgive. The sacrifice of God's only Son, perfect and pure, is enough to cover that. We went on talking. I shared with him about the criminal hanging on the cross, who said to the other criminal that was mocking Jesus, he said, hey, this man has done nothing wrong. You and I deserve to die for what we have done. I don't know what they've done. Scripture doesn't tell us. You and I deserve to die for what we've done. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then the Bible says he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That man couldn't go back and serve his church. He couldn't give money. He couldn't change his neighborhood. There was nothing he could do. He was going to be dead in a matter of maybe an hour. But Jesus said, yes. Why? Only because he asked. He said, I cleanse you. I am sure that if Jesus could have reached that criminal, he would have touched him. I am sure. So he's willing to get into our mess. My question is, are we willing to get into the mess? Like Jesus, if we're reflecting Jesus, are we willing? Hey, years ago, it was probably 1987. It was the year of metal bands and big hair. And I had a youth group. I had a youth group, and I had this kid coming, and he was a diehard metalhead. I mean, he was into it. Big hair, black hair, dangly earrings. He had the exquisite jean jacket with the pen drawing on the back. I mean, you guys are old enough to remember those. Remember? Yeah. All right, not raising your hands. You're like, How many of you guys were one of those guys? All right. Yeah. Yeah. And so this kid was coming to youth group, and I was trying to get him to come to church. I was like, come join us on Sunday morning. You'll enjoy it. Come. He said, nah, I'm not coming. You're kidding. There's no way. I was like, come. I said, why won't you come? He said, they don't want me there. I said, not our church. Our church wants you there. He said, oh, okay, Scott, here's the deal. I will come. You need to promise me that you're not going to tell anybody I'm coming. Promise me right now. Promise me. I made the promise and I kept it because I was so sure. He said, I guarantee you, nobody except for you and the people who have the job of saying hello at the door will say hi to me. And I said, man, no. Well, that Sunday came and he went the extra mile. I mean, he really looked like he was lead singer. You know, he's Def Leppard. He's Twisted Sister. He's ready. You know, he's coming in, walking like this, says hi at the door, goes, sits toward the back, sits down. At the end of the service, nobody I'm watching. At the beginning, you know, how people mingle around. He's alone. Nobody's talking to him. Couple of youth group kids, but he expects that, you know. Then the service was over. It's time for people, they're mingling, talking to each other. And he's sitting there, and he's like, just standing around. And I'm praying, oh, Lord, please, just one. Nobody. Nobody said hello to that. Not even one. I went and I said to him, man, I am sorry. He said, no sweat. It's what I expected. And he went out. I carry that with me now. You know, it's almost 40 years later. And I'm still carrying that with me. And when I tell that story, it still hurts. Because I wonder, who's among us who we're willing to maybe do that, but we're certainly not going to go out of our way. Jesus ran to the mess. The second thing that this story tells us, again, that we've seen again and again and again, is that Jesus has healing power. His healing power. In Mark 1:42, we see that it was immediate. It wasn't gradual. Jesus made it immediate. Last week, we saw the same thing. Immediate. Touch the son. Get up. Immediate. We saw it. We've seen it in every miracle. Jesus' authority and power is immediate. It's so obvious that he is over everything. He has authority over what feels impossible in our lives. Do you think that lady who was at her son's funeral while they were taking him to the grave, do you think she was thinking there was some chance that she was going to leave that day and have her son back? No chance. This is a funeral. And yet Jesus came. And spoke and rose the young man and gave him back to the widow. Immediate. The third thing that I see in this story is that sometimes Jesus' instructions, they're strange. He gives strange instructions. This instruction doesn't make sense to me on the surface. When he says, don't tell anyone. Go to the priest. Don't tell anyone. Go to the priest. And I'm like, why? How are you going to do that? Why? What? That's dumb. I don't understand it. But then when I look into it, it starts to make sense. Because he was saying to this man, under Jewish law, make it official. Get it authenticated. You know, you can get a baseball signed by Derek Jeter. It's worthless to me, but you love it. And you've got this Derek Jeter baseball. But if it doesn't have that certificate of authenticity, it was probably signed by Harvey Weinberg or Joseph Giolito or whoever's in the back room doing signatures. That authenticity speaks volumes. And in Hebrew law, this was the acceptance of, yes, indeed, you are healed. So sometimes Jesus asks us to obey in ways that don't make sense to us. And it didn't make sense to him. You know, I looked it up and I'm looking and I'm going, why? Why? What are the theories out there? Some people say it's that Jesus told them not to tell anyone because he was trying to protect his mission's focus and timing. His focus and timing. Because a lot of people will come for miracles. They want to see the show. Right? You see it on TV when you watch TV evangelists. We talk about that guy who people are walking up to him and he's going, and they're falling over. You've got catchers, people who are catching. And it's like, I'm like, man, that guy's got bad breath. And they're falling over. And he's like, and then the one time I'm watching him, he's taking his coat. Whoosh, whoosh, and people are falling over. Place is packed because people come for the show. Jesus wasn't about the show. He just didn't make things a big show with the ceremonies and all this. He just spoke and touched. Some say that he wanted to avoid the obstacles from misplaced enthusiasm. That people wouldn't be excited about the Messiah. They'd be excited about the healings. Like, I don't care who you are if you heal me of this illness. And his mission was to show he is Messiah. And the last thing is that the law was important to Jesus. Because he was Hebrew. He was Jewish. And he had grown up in the temple. So he was showing respect for the Old Testament law that was in place at that time. But it's a strange type of request. And the man couldn't contain it. Because the fourth thing is the man's transformation. The guy was going to burst, you guys. He had leprosy. He had to go around yelling, unclean, unclean, unclean. Come over, unclean, 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 unclean. You're welcome. Nobody wants that, right? I'd come yelling unclean. You guys would split. You guys would be looking up. And now this guy has been healed, and he doesn't have to do that anymore. He doesn't have to announce to everybody what's wrong with him. Imagine walking in someplace and being like, anxiety, 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 panic attacks, anxiety, anxiety, panic attacks. Walking in, addiction, 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 addiction. Ah. This man was transformed because Jesus healed him. The spots were gone. The leprosy is a disease where parts fall off. The terrible joke of how you know you're at a leper's hockey game. There was a face-off in the corner. It's a terrible disease. And then this man looked and went, I am healed. So he was going to burst, you guys. I would burst. And then so he immediately went around and he shared what Jesus did with everybody that he came in contact with. Everybody. I was unclean. I had the disease. I had this these growths on me, and now they're gone. Do you know what happened? This is what Jesus did. I think it's reasonable. He was going to burst. He couldn't keep it to himself. He shared what Jesus did. He had to. See, when God changes your life, your story matters. Your story matters. Now, in Scripture, it tells us that people become believers by the word of God and the word of your testimony, your story. Your story holds more weight with a neighbor than just immediately turning to the Romans Road and giving them a track. Your story of how God gives you peace, how God has helped you meet obstacles. When Brad shared this summer, and I'm sitting there listening and tears are rolling, and because Brad is sharing how they're going through that, and I felt it. I felt it, and I'm like, my daughter, my granddaughter, parent going through this, child going through this. That story, as he shared it, people said to me, was so powerful. The transparency of us telling our story brings people to the hope of Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Give an answer. That means we live in such a way that people ask a question. Too often we're answering questions that aren't asked. Right? So we get involved. We jump in and our story matters. So I've got some takeaways today for us to conclude. The first one is that Jesus is not put off by your mess. He looks at your mess. He looks at you, your situation, with compassion. He looks at my sniper friend, and his heart breaks. He looks at the suffering of the leper, and his heart breaks. He looks at the grieving widow, and he feels it in his gut, and his heart breaks. When we try to keep our mess separate and don't bring it to Christ, he already knows about it, and he's just waiting to say, let's go through this together. I will strengthen you. The second thing is that his power is greater than anything you're carrying. It's greater. We've seen him resurrect people from the dead. We've seen him heal people. We've seen him confront the enemy straight on. And so that even the demons were like, what have you come to do to us? And they run away. And we saw that episode of Pigs in Space. Right? We see what he does. The third thing, obedience feels hard, but it's always worth it. You do the right thing, you never have to worry. You never have to worry. And lastly, your transformation is not just for you. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared, but obediently. Right? Do so with gentleness and respect. No one's saying, go and tell your story like running in. Brother, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. You know the real that's there? Don't run away from the Lord. You know, that's not what we see in Scripture. We see love first interacting. We see love, concern, connection, and then sharing the hope that's within us. And that's what we're called to do. You see, my transformation, a lot of it came during my transplant, my liver transplant experience 13 years ago. I went into that whole experience, if you're a Myers-Briggs type person, personality profiles, all that, I was an ENTJ, which is a field marshal. We're going to get it done, and I will leave bodies in my wake. Don't talk to me, we got something to get done. I came out of that not being an ENTJ. I came out of that being an ESFP, sensing, feeling, perceiving. Little kids before my transplant, they didn't pay attention to me at all. After my transplant, I became Scott Calvin in the Santa Claus. I could sit over there and little children come. And I said to my wife, what is this? Wow, what's going on? She said, they can sense that you have time for them. They can sense that you value them. See, the transformation that God took that whole situation that was awful. I would not wish it on anyone, even my worst enemy. I do not recommend liver transplants. You know, don't, if you can avoid it, okay? Terrible. But the good that came out of it, the transformation that came out of it in me, I'm so thankful that God was there with me through that. He didn't give it to me. He was there with it. With me through it. So today, I hope you know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that Jesus is approachable. Jesus is there for you. I know it's a confusing time, guys. I know there's this word evangelical that has become political now. Evangelical means, the definition is, sharing the gospel, the good news. It's not about sharing what policy should happen and what this, what that, standing on that. That's not what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about the Jesus of Scripture. Compassionate, powerful, reaching into the mess and touching. Let's pray. God, I thank you that there are so many answers or examples in Scripture where you show us again and again your character, Lord Jesus. You show us who you are. And Lord, it's a confusing time right now because there are many among us who are sharing pictures that don't look at all like you. So Lord, I pray that we would go to the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and look for your character, your personality, your style. And Lord, those of us who follow you already, Lord, that we would reflect you, that we would be unafraid to reach out into the mess, and Lord, that we would each be the person that's going to talk to that kid who nobody else is talking to, is going to talk to that person who's just coming in, checking things out. Lord, I pray you go with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys.